He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Which will it be this week? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here, our resident financial chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we are off. The bell has rung. The horses have broken out of the gate, and there they go. It's the Dow, you know, got out really fast. Boy, it's starting to recede now. It didn't last very long. It's still up. The Dow is up 200 points right now to 31,288, but the NASDAQ has now turned south. The NASDAQ is down 73 points to 10,785. The S&P kind of splitting the middle there. The S&P is up a little bit. It's up 9 points to 3,762. Crude oil is basically flat. It's up 3 cents, 85.08. We've got the 10-year is at 4.23. That's the highest it's been in a long, long time. That's a decade high, 4.23. Man, I couldn't believe the chart of the interest rates that I put in the newsletter on Friday. And the corresponding inverse bond ETF, that thing has really, really rocketed higher here, TBT, in 2022. Bitcoin's up $143 today. It's at $19,330, and boy, do we have a big week of earnings on tap for you this week. And that will go a long ways to determining the future of this current market. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Right now, you've got the Dow, the DIA ETF, Dow is up, dog is down, which is the inverse Dow. But over at the NASDAQ, you've got the NASDAQ down, so the inverse funds are up there. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. As we begin a new week in the market, I want to say there's 145 of the S&P 500 companies reporting earnings this week. Several
it's the biggest week, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
this
the biggest
is,
week it is. I know we got Apple, Amazon on Thursday, and a whole bunch before that.
Yes, and next week will be these next 2 weeks are going to go a long way towards determining the future of this market. And you know, I'll go through. We'll take a look at where we are so far. 20% of the S&P 500 companies have reported, and we'll go over those numbers and where we're at. But it's really this week and next week, because now we're getting into the meat, the heart of the big tech stocks and a lot of your mega cap stocks, etc. The market did finish on a big up note on Friday. Although, I thought it was a pretty flimsy reason to build a rally on. There was a rumor that the Fed will be less dovish in December. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to build my house
your
on
bets,
stone, not on rock, not on sand, and that's pretty flimsy. That came from the Wall Street Journal, and apparently one of the Fed governors, the San Francisco Fed governor, I can't think of her name. It's one of the women on the Fed committee. She was saying it's time for the Fed to back off now. But I don't think she's going to get her way. She's just one vote, and it seems to me like the Fed is hell-bent on at least two more 75 basis point hikes. But, boy, that set off a rally. It shows you, too, I think, the veracity of the short interest that's in the market right now. The Dow was up 749 last week to end the week. The NASDAQ was up 245. It looked like it was going to follow through into today. We are still up on the Dow, but the NASDAQ is now down 107 points.
But it seems a hard bet to make because, I mean, what you've got, I mean, on Friday we get the PCE, and we get a lot of economic news this week, too. We get the, I mean, we get the PCE core inflation, you know, index, which is kind of the Fed's true version of the CPI. We get that on Friday, and we get, you know, or I think we get our first GDP reading on Thursday. We get some jobless claims numbers. Of course, you mentioned all the earnings news that we get
yes.
this week. You know, there's still a few few balls in the air. Of course, if I don't know if you looked at the Chinese markets today, but they're not. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one. So,
and let's not forget Bryce Harper's ball is still in the air. It's orbiting the earth after Padres let a rookie pitch to him instead of bringing in Josh Hader. Anyways,
anytime. By the way, anytime the Phillies have won the World Series, a recession follows.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think they're going to win the World Series. I think Houston's going to be a uphill climb, but it is true, the recession. Okay, now, this go back to this Wall Street Journal story on Friday that set the market on fire. The state of today's journalism, a Wall Street Journal story, this always bothers me when they say, whose author is known to be closely briefed on FOMC thinking. Okay, like, all right, he knows what the FOMC is thinking.
Did they go to, sounds like they just went to school.
This is the state of journalism today, you know, that's not sourced, you know, the source, he's aware of their thinking. Well, it's San Francisco President Mary Daly, she says more rate hikes are needed, the time is now to start talking about stepping down. So anyways, you know, and we've got an election 2 weeks from tomorrow, and there's just going to be all kinds of, cross currents here between now and election day. In the meantime, this week ahead, we'll see earnings from Facebook, Meta, that stock has been getting clobbered, Apple, Amazon, Google, so basically your FANG stocks, and even though Netflix is reported, and they had a good report, Microsoft will report earnings this week. Then you get into the mega caps like GM and Ford and Kraft and Coca-Cola, Colgate-Palmolive, Boeing, L3 Harris Technologies, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman. You get into some of the big financials, you know, the non-banks, the Visas, the MasterCards, and then we'll get to some big oil giants like Exxon and Chevron, whose stocks were breaking out on Friday. I mean, the oil stocks had a huge day on Friday. So this will be a gigantic week of earnings, which also sets this week up to be very volatile. You know, you could get one day a report like you got from Netflix last week, and the next day you could get a real stinker from Meta, Facebook, or from Apple, or from Intel. So this is going to be a crazy week. You can buckle your seatbelt. We remain in a pretty defensive position with earnings season unfolding before us, an election 2 weeks from tomorrow. You still have Europe continuing to head towards recession. We have solved one of the riddles, however. Who will be the next leader of the UK? Well, it's going to be Rishi Sunak, who cut his teeth at Goldman Sachs. It's funny how Goldman Sachs always seems to get somebody
just put somebody in
in there that can can relate to them. You know, what they're thinking in the UK or in what Goldman Sachs wants them to do and whatnot.
Yeah, and he's the ex-Treasury chief, so probably a good choice given what unfolded in the last 40, 45 or 50 days or so.
Yes, his specialty is supposed to be the economy. So that is out of the way. That question mark is out of the way. Let's see how the FXB is reacting. That's the pound sterling. it's pretty flat right now. Just kind of, eh, you know, Sunak. All right, we'll see what he can do. Because they've got energy crisis going on in the UK. They've got the country headed into recession, despite who wins the World Series, you know. And we've got our country, which we're going to get a GDP report. I'm going to guess that somehow they'll engineer those numbers to come just positive by 0.2%, right?
You want to know what the median forecast is?
What is it?
You're going to be surprised.
Okay.
2.4%. I mean,
up?
Yeah, 2.4
oh.
up.
So well, then see. I'm way off. Well, okay.
They may be way off.
So the two-quarter recession is over, and we're back to growth again. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now shows. The inverse funds are starting to take charge here. It's just incredible what's happening in the emerging markets today, where China dominates the emerging markets. And I think what happened in China over the weekend is much more serious than, you know, we give while all the world is focused on Putin and Ukraine and everything, you know, this was not supposed to happen. You know, they were not supposed to have a dictator leader for the rest of his life. You know, they were in a reform like Russia was many years.
Two five-year terms. We're supposed.
I mean, he and reform is over in China. I mean, the reformers, if you didn't watch that and see the pictures of it, the reformers were escorted from the room.
Yeah, who was sent? Yeah, basically sent out in the middle of the event.
And he was the leader before Xi. He was a businessman. He was a big tea merchant, and you know, he was a reformer. And we saw, you know, kind of the golden age of China, where they were, involved with us in commerce back and forth.
Dominant growth?
I mean. Yeah, I mean, 8%, 7%, 8% growth and, you know, their technology? No. I mean, they've taken a major step towards the Mao Zedong years, and it's a bit scary, really is. It's very scary on the world stage. And so here, look, emerging market bear three times, which we own, is up 15% today on five times normal volume. We have a fairly large position in EUM, which is emerging markets, one time. It's up 4.8% today. And then you look at the inverse China. I personally own inverse China. It's too volatile for me to put clients into it because China
today.
Is so damn unpredictable.
It's volatile today in the right direction.
Woo, yeah. FXP is up 23% today, while the long China FXI, China markets are down 12% today.
Dragon's down. They're actually down. It's a record down day for that Golden Dragon Index. I forget what the symbol is for that. It's not an ETF, but it's a particular index. But yeah, they're having the worst day ever.
Well, if our Dow was down 12%, it'd be down almost 4,000 points right now. Okay, that tells you how serious. Now you just wonder what impact this has on the global economy. You know, I mean, not only do we buy a lot of things from China, but if you're doing business in China, I think of Tesla right off the bat. I think of Apple right off the bat. China is going to, it seems like China is going to close again like they did, you know, like they were for many decades.
Well, and think and name a communist or heavily socialist, you know, economy, right? That has grown or been a great economic growth engine for an extended period of time. Really, I mean, it's a system that's really built, you know, not to be a big grower. And like you said, those reformists initially for the first, you know, say 15 or so, you know, years, certainly in the 2000s, right? I mean, they were growing, you know, 8-10% a year, right?
Yeah.
Grew to be the second biggest economy in the world.
And then the billionaires started to disappear, locked up. Where'd they go? And Hong Kong was taken over. And I would think, you know, Taiwan's in severe jeopardy, which is many of the chip makers. Taiwan Semiconductor is now building a plant in Japan.
Well, remember how much you used to hear about Macau, right? I mean, hardly hear anything about that now.
No, yeah. Other than they close them all down every time somebody sneezes over there. So, yeah, it's not a good thing for the world at all. And, of course, you've also got Xi and Putin pretty buddy-buddy these days. They met here recently in Russia. Xi traveled to Russia. That's a pretty powerful, formidable force there, those two. So anyways, we have to bring that up because that's the world stage there. That's one-third of the people that live in the world. And then you add in Russia, that's a pretty scary thing. Okay, now, the earnings season so far in the U.S., we are 20% of the way. We've had a lot of banks. We've had just a few tech stocks, Netflix and a few others. We've had a few oil stocks here and there, but now it's going to really heat up the next couple of weeks. With 20% of the earnings now in from the S&P 500, roughly 100 companies of the 500, I think 72% have beat their earnings estimates, 70% have beat their revenue estimates. But the number that stands out to me, you know, if you go back a couple of months, the expectations for this quarter were 8.5% higher than the same quarter last year. Now, with 20% in the books, that number has dropped from 8.5% to just 1.5%. Okay, that's like a Padre one-run lead going into the seventh inning. You know, that lead continues to disappear and is very vulnerable. Now, we could come in with a negative quarter, which I can't remember. Well, you got to go back to the COVID years. But now we're at 1.5% is the expectation for this quarter. And I've also seen the biggest downgrades to earnings since 2008 or 2007. 2007, when I started to see the earnings downgrades for the S&P 500, that was the warning shot over the bow of the 2008-2009 recession looking back. We're now seeing earnings cuts kind of to the magnitude of 2007. We're not quite there yet. But that's kind of the direction that this is going right now. And I've seen some pretty big cuts. We're expected this year, 2022, which ends in 9 weeks, we're expecting $221 next year, or this year, $221. That'll be record earnings. Now the question is 2023 and 2024. Well, I publish that in my newsletter. Given the best information that we have on the market right now, you can look at that. I think the multiple has probably gone down as much as the multiple is going to go down, but now it's a matter of the earnings. And that sets up this week and next week to be very important weeks. If these earnings estimates continue to get lowered, that won't be a good thing because the target price, and we've also seen a lot of big macro firms lowering their target price on the S&P 500, some of them down to some pretty eye-popping numbers. Okay, when we come back, there are many companies in the news today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Well, if there's not enough volatility already, now I see at 10:30, 1:30 p.m. today, the Merrick Garland, the DOJ, will be making a big national security announcement. Apparently it has something to do with now Iran is going to interfere in our elections. You know, I just read today in the Seeking Alpha that the administration, the current administration, wants Elon Musk to give Iranians Starlink Internet, which, you know, he did in Ukraine. He gave out, I think, 20,000 of those little satellite receivers. And now they're calling on Musk to give them to the Iranians, which seems a little strange to me. But anyways,
I thought they were giving the drones to Russia. So what
fasten your seatbelt. You know, I think this could have something to do with the midterm elections, which I don't know. I just got a feeling in the pit of my stomach that this isn't going to be a normal election season. So. Take it for what it's worth. Okay, now I want to go back to August of last year. I pointed this out in the newsletter. The impact that interest rates have on asset classes. In August of last year, the 10-year got clear down to 1.15. And, of course, we're at 4.22 today. It's tripled since August of last year, in just a little over 12 months. Interest rates has tripled. This is a historic move, absolutely historic move in interest rates. And, of course, you know, on the one hand, it shows you how far behind the Fed was with their previous calculations, that they got to go so quickly. You know, it's like bailing a boat, and you're doing it with a coffee mug or whatever. Pretty soon you realize you need a 5-gallon bucket because you're going down quickly.
Yeah, hit the bilge pump.
So this is a historic rise in rates. It's taken 20% out of the S&P 500. These are the last 200 days, actually, trading days. 20% in 200 days. So that just tells you, I mean, if rates continue to rise, you can expect more of this. The typical ETF that has 7 to 10-year U.S. Treasuries has now lost 16.6% over the last 200 days. And the S&P 20%, so a 60-40 bond portfolio, it's about 18% right now over the last 200 days. But now, wait a minute, it gets a lot worse than that. Of course, the S&P inverse is up 19% over the last 200 days. The NASDAQ is down 28% over the last 200 days. And you go out on the long end of stocks, the long duration stocks, using ARK Innovation as the proxy, 58% down over the last 200 days. The inverse bond ETF, which is juiced, 2-to-1 is up 112% over the last 200 days. That's TBT. So there you can see the worst place to have been over the last 200 days, growth, high growth, innovation stocks. The second worst place to have been, NASDAQ, tech, mega cap growth stocks. The third worst place to have been has been the bond Treasuries down 17%. The best places to have been in the inverse S&P 500 and the inverse juice 2-to-1 treasury, inverse funds. That's why we call it now the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, because a lot of these inverse funds are having very good years here in 2022. Boy, the market is just all over the place. It's making me dizzy just watching it. We've now got it up. The S&P has now gone positive, but I think the S&P's up 16 now. But the NASDAQ, let's see, the NASDAQ is still down 48. It was down 107 just a few minutes ago. So keep your eyes on it. Here's a good prediction. Volatility may make a comeback this week as big tech reports earnings. Yes, that's already happening here in front of us. Panic selling, of course, in China. I read last night that Hong Kong was down. Like, by the time it ended, Hong Kong got bludgeoned down 6%. Chinese fintech stocks sink after Q3 GDP report, which was actually pretty good. Their GDP was pretty good. But it was what happened in the leadership there over the weekend, the tightening of the grip of Xi, and no changes in their COVID policy whatsoever. The Chinese EV stocks, they have just been slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered. NIO, Li, XPeng, Boy, just getting absolutely crushed. Tesla cuts prices in China by up to 9% amid softening demand. I got to believe that his China franchise is in big trouble. Not only his manufacturing the cars there, but also selling American cars, Tesla cars, to Chinese people. I read one article said the people that should be nervous in China, anybody that runs a business or is wealthy in China or semi-wealthy in China, you know, they are going back to the old ways of, you know, everybody's equal, spreading the wealth, communism, communism.
Yeah, everyone's equal except all those, you know, the folks in charge at that meeting. They get a little extra preferential treatment.
Except the guy that got escorted out by two guys, you know, who took
And I was reading an article about, of course, you know, I can't remember that particular party's group, you know, before she took over, but a lot of those members, you know, who were remaining are now, you know, kind of didn't even make it, you know, to the inner circle. They made it, you know, they're kind of almost out completely.
So it's all hardcore now.
They didn't all necessarily get escorted out, but they didn't get included in
any
of the
leadership
groups.
They weren't even invited to the meeting.
Right. Yeah.
So well, and Germany continues to Germany manufacturing PMI hits a 28-month low. I mean, now you're going back before COVID. The Eurozone services activity falls deeper into contraction. It's just hard to believe that, you know, we're going to avoid a recession, and Europe's going to avoid a recession with the direction these things are going. Japan factory growth slows to 21-month low. Japan is struggling. There is an inverse fund, EWZ, on Japan, which broke out mightily. No, it's EWZ is Brazil, which also has issues of its own right now, with an election, Bolsonaro and a leftist that are still facing off down there. EWV is Japan's inverse. EWV is hitting a new 52-week high today.
And we get a decision, just to throw more things on Thursday, right? We get an ECB rate decision on Thursday. That's along with the Apple and Amazon earnings. So tough to, you know, they need to be raising. Tough to do when you're looking at the PMI numbers that you just mentioned from Germany. So they're in a real, real conundrum.
Well, okay, here's something to cheer you up here. With all of this negative news, Beyond Meat rolls out its Beyond Steak. Grill one up tonight, you know, medium rare. They're going to launch Beyond Steak. It's a steak alternative. It's available now at Kroger and Walmart stores nationwide. As well as, I don't think it's going to, I think it's like chopped up to put into a burrito. But they say it's seared to perfection, chopped into bite-sized pieces for meat lovers and flexitarians. Okay, that's a new term. You can be a flexitarian. Beyond Steak is also packed with 21 grams of protein per serve. You think we'll see it at Charles Chop House before long?
I don't think it's going to make that display tray right next to the to the bone-in filet.
Yes, or we have this Beyond Meat made from pea, you know, pea proteins. Now, okay, let's see what else we have. Wells Fargo says the market will hit bottom when the VIX tops 40. Well, the VIX has been hanging around in the low 30s recently. We haven't seen 40 in a long time. That's what they say to look for. Wells Fargo, watch for the VIX to hit 40. And, of course, you can look at the VIX ETF. You can invest in the VIX ETF, VXX. Okay, when we come back, we'll see what's popping today. We know the inverse funds on China are leading the way today, but what else? Well, there might be a few here and there. We'll see. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I started doing something new. I mean, while the market has been kind of in a funk, obviously, here in 2022, S&P down 20% over the last 200 trading days, NASDAQ down 27%. You know, I go through my database every single day. Of over 6,000, and I look at anything that's moving up in rank. I look at anything that is, you know, a B-plus or better. I look at all my A-plus momentum stocks. In other words, I look at quite a few charts every single day in the market as I'm heavily engaged from the time way well before the market opens until after it closes. And I started putting out, just for fun, for free to try to get people through this tough time in the market, trading list, my best potential ideas for trading list. Okay, it's up to you what you do with them. You look, do the rest of the work. What I've done for you is I've taken my database of 6,037 and I've whittled it down to about 60 to 70. So you're looking at the top, the creme de la creme, the top 1%, and that they have to survive my, you know, all of the screens I have in the app, and then they have to subscribe, they have to get past my eyeballs on the chart. I'm looking for the most explosive coiled spring type charts or fresh breakouts, bucking the trend, which is a predominant downtrend in the overall market. And I'm providing this thing right now at no cost, free, just to try to help people get through these tough times in the market. Man, I'm telling you what, that thing has nailed some big winners there for you. I would like to hear some testimonials from folks who have maybe nailed some of these. But I can tell you that for the last several days, maybe even the last couple weeks, four of them on the list are the biggest winners in the market today. What? Well, that's right. Look at Yang. Y-A-N-G. That's been on the list for several days now. I mean, it's one of the highest ranked ETFs in my app, and it has a solid chart, a very solid chart. Yang is up 36.2% today. You had all, you know, and a lot of these stocks roll over. They roll over to the next day and the next day because they continue to be the best looking, no guarantees, but they're the best looking ideas in the current market out of a very large database. So I hope some of you out there maybe put a few bucks into Yang. I'm going to leave that part up to you. FXP has been on the list now for a long time. FXP is double inverse China. Yang is triple inverse China. FXP is up 24.5% today. That's a pretty good trade there, Barry. And you know, since I put it on the list, I think it's up well over that as it continues to hit 52-week highs. And then I've been talking about how vulnerable the emerging markets are. They've got several things working against them. Number one, a strong U.S. dollar. Number two, a collapsing China market, which, you know, I mean, China, this goes down as a day like 1989, that was the big crash in the
87.
Dow.
Yeah, 87. I mean, but you look at this thing. I mean, this, like, what I'm looking at, you know, looking at some of the indices over there, I mean, you're talking like a 1920s, you know, crash.
Yes.
I mean, in one day. So it's pretty interesting in terms of what's, you know, talk about the bond vigilantes, of course, in the UK. Well, you know, investors are quickly fleeing China after their leadership consolidation as well. So
now let's not forget too that China holds that Japan and China both hold most of the U.S. debt. You know, and with those two economies going south, that could set off some dominoes there.
Well, so they have zero, their reserves. I was looking at EU, talking about emerging markets, which is one of the reasons why we have some of that, those emerging market inverse ETFs. But you look at, I think EMZ is one of them, or that's taking off today. But they have such a low currency reserves, and a lot of these, you know, reserve amounts they haven't had in, you know, 10 years. I mean, so they're, you know, when they have those low currency reserves, they really can't, I mean, with the U.S. dollar strengthening, they can't do anything to offset it. So it's,
no.
It's certainly hurtful for them. It, you know, kind of helps us to a certain extent in certain parts of the economy, but pretty interesting.
Yes. I mean, we just hope they can make their debt payments, right? We hope that they continue to borrow from
us. They're going to hope that we make our debt payment.
Oh, we make our debt payment. They're going to continue to borrow from us because that has been the source of our $21 trillion or $30 trillion debt is held a lot by a couple of countries. Okay, so the emerging market inverse ETFs have been on there for quite some time. EUM is 1x inverse. We own that in our premier growth portfolio. EUM is up 4.2% today. EDZ, which we own in our ultra growth portfolio, is up 13.2% today. And EEV, which I've been talking about for the last many weeks on the show, EEV is up 8.9% today. These are all the leaders in the market today. This does not give you a lot of faith and confidence that the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 have bottomed. When you look at the leaders in the market, once again, being either inverse funds or very low-quality stocks, I'm happy to be in a defensive position. SARC is up 4.7 as Kathy Woods hit a new all-time low last week, a five-year low on her ARK fund. So anyways, there you go. If you're not getting the trading list, I'm sending it out every morning before the market, about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before the market opens. And you can go to GundersonCapital.com. If you're in our database, I'm pretty much sending it out to everybody. And then I'm also posting it on my Twitter account with, you know, the password and the link. Give us a call. Get on the list at 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.